Right. Hello, hello, hello. We have 5 minutes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Apostle will be joining us momentarily. Thank you for joining us. Hello, hello. Hello, Deborah Poole. God bless you. All right. Welcome. Everybody come on in. God bless you. All right. How was your Thanksgiving meals and Zoom family meetings? I pray everybody had a good holiday. Some of my friends call it Happy Indigenous People Day. So I respect all of you. I just pray you had a nice, safe time. All right. Hello, hello, hello. All right, so I'm excited about tonight's Bible study. We're going to continue with Apostles series on false prophecy, how to identify it. It's going to be awesome. Yes, so I'm just going to wait for you all. Bless you, Prophet Andrea. Hello, hello. So we're just going to give everybody a few moments. Come on in here. We will be opening up the Zoom as well momentarily. Good evening. God bless you. God bless you. All right. So just give us just a moment. Give us a moment. All right. So we're just waiting just a few moments. For those of you who will be joining us on Zoom, I will be clicking admit as soon as it hits the time. So please, thank you for your patience. God bless you. Hey, everybody, thank you for joining. So I'm going back and forth between the phone and the computer. So if you see me doing this, that's why. That's why. All right. Hello, hello. Hello. So prayerfully, people will come on in. We are super excited to have each and every one of you. If you are waiting to join on Zoom, we will be admitting you shortly. So thank you for your patience. All right. Apostle Teresa is going to be joining us momentarily, but I just wanted to welcome each and every one of you. And get you all ready. I hope you have your paper Bibles available. And some of you may want to take notes, and that's all right as well. Whatever you choose to, we're going to have fun in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to this continued series. What about you all? Yes, 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 absolutely. Okay, if you do not see some of those from the Scribal, hello, Rebecca, thank you for joining. From the Scribal Conservatory, please tag them, invite them in, let them know today is Tuesday. You know, it's so much going on. I kind of forget what day it is sometimes. The only thing that saves me is my alarm on my phone, because sometimes I'll be thinking Saturday is Monday, you know, with everything going on, I'm just like, oh, right. Today is Tuesday, or today is, you know, so, I know that's what's going on for a lot of people. Good evening. All right. It's almost time. I hope you all are ready, for this, continued series. I know I'm ready. Yes, I do. I forget sometimes what day it is. Ugh, it's hard to keep up. Can you all hear okay? I'm assuming you can hear because you responded. So, all right. So there'll be some other people coming on in. All right, here we go. We're about to open up the Zoom. All right. Hello, Prophet Andrea, blessings. Blessings. Okay. Thank you guys for your patience. Apostle will be with us shortly. She'll be with us momentarily. Thank you so much for those joining on Zoom. We will be right with you if you can hear me. Hang tight. Just a moment. We will be right with you. It's a little bit of a lag on Facebook, so I think it's behind. Prophet Andrette, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, I'm on both.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Apostle will be with us in just a moment. All right. For those of you who are looking for the link for the Zoom, it is on the page. If you just go up, the Zoom link is actually on the page on our the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center Bible study. So it's right there on the page. I think Apostle Bernard actually posted it. Okay, so here we go. Okay, great. Okay, so she found it. Hello, good evening, good evening, good evening. All right, we are letting everybody in.
Okay.
Hi, thank you for joining everyone.
Hi.
Hello, Apostle will be with us momentarily. But I am welcoming everyone, saying hello, good evening. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving or holiday.
Okay, bye.
Yes. And thank you for joining us. We will be starting shortly. But so far, have you all not enjoyed the series so far?
Yes.
It's been amazing, right? I've been enjoying it. Hi, bless you, Apostle Bernard. Yes, I have been enjoying it immensely. Yes, it's been wonderful. Yes, it has. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. For those of you all who are on Facebook, hang tight. Apostle will be with us momentarily. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Yes, it's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. If you all want to type in one of the points that you remember that stuck out with you, please feel free to type those in while we're waiting for Apostle. Hi, Jenna. Welcome. Thank you for joining. If any of you have can please tag our group, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Apostle. I receive it. Amen. All right. So good evening, everyone. Veruva, welcome. Yes, it's been wonderful. Yes, I agree with you 100%. 100%. Yeah, I look forward to these types of teachings because a lot of people need them, especially at the end of the year. Especially at the end of the year where you have a lot of people wanting to release the word of the Lord and is sometimes isn't. I'll just say it like that. Yes. All right. So you all, so I have 60 seconds to talk. I have 60 seconds to ask a question. I want someone, I need you guys to type in one thing so far from this series that has blessed you. Facebook, I'm talking to you as well as those on Zoom. Just put it in the chat. I really want to read these before Apostle comes on. So y'all put something in the chat that blessed you about learning about false prophecy, like one point that you can remember or something that stuck out to you. Here we go. I can tell that you're typing. Somebody's typing. One thing. Anybody on Facebook want to put something? Okay. I know somebody's typing something. I could feel it. Can you feel it? Hello, hello. Thank you for joining. Apostle will be with us shortly. All right, I believe. All right.
Sorry about that. Oh my goodness. How is everybody?
Good.
Good. So
I was asking them a question, Apostle, before you got on. What has stuck out so far in the series that you've been teaching?
Well, one quick question. Are we on Facebook?
Yes, I already did it for you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, so the question was, before Apostle gets on, was one thing that stuck out to you that you can type in? And I have one person said, knowing that I don't have to receive every word that someone says they receive from God that does not reveal Christ. Woo!
That is really good.
Amen.
Oh, man. I like that, LA, because you know, you don't even know this, but one of the things I wanted to do tonight before I got distracted was to literally talk with people a few minutes and see where they were. So this kind of works out better than I thought.
That's how Holy Spirit be doing that all the time, don't he?
Yes, he does. If you see Carlette on Facebook or if she's on here, ask her to just reach out to everybody and remind them that we're online, because I'm not on Facebook. I don't see. So if you all are watching this, I'm just checking to make sure y'all are here, especially the conservators.
Yes. I just sent her a tag request on Facebook. I don't see everybody just yet, but they're coming on.
Okay. I wanted to just ask everybody a question real quick, and you can type it in. Somebody's got some feedback that I got it. I took care of it. So I just want to make sure real quick. Let me make sure everybody's muted. Because if you have the television going, music playing in the background, we can hear all of that. But I wanted to ask, do you all feel like you have a better handle on false prophecy? So, you know, you can type in, shake your head, those that I can see. Okay, good. Because that's the biggest thing. So we all know all of those wonderful scriptures we have when you go through the school of the prophets that they give you. But I was like, God, I need some more revelation.
Yes.
I need some more understanding because these people still lying.
Right.
So, you know, how they're still not understanding. But what's important is that we know how to navigate, that we know how to correct ourselves, because we can only take care of who? Me.
Me.
Yep. Individual. Yep.
Ourselves. And so, LA, anything else?
That was another good question, Apostle. On Facebook, they're saying, yes, they also are in agreement with having a better handle on the definition and things that you've been teaching. So, yes.
Okay. And I want us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I hope I've been very good with that, too. People like teaching about Paul, Peter, James, Barnabas, all of those people, because they can relate to them. Mm-hmm. And we see ourselves and our flaws in them. And I've noticed that in a lot of Bible study teachings, not Bible study teachings, but School of the Prophets that I experienced. Hold on, let me mute my phone, because that's why that is happening. Okay, so the reason why I appreciate what God has revealed to me is because I now know it's not okay to teach the flaws, if that makes sense. We can teach people that we can make mistakes, that things happen, but we want to be slow to speak and quick to listen. But now we just have like lawnmowers of prophecy going on, you know, and it's just really, really disturbing. Really disturbing. You all ready?
Yes.
So you got your Bibles?
Yes.
Take pictures of your Bibles. We're going to be right back in the book of Matthew today. We're going to do some exercises. Get your pen, get your paper. Listen, it's so important that you study the word for yourself. If nothing else that I point out to you, I mean study. I don't mean just read something until it feels good. I mean read something and then hold that one piece of scripture in your heart for several weeks. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. Let it turn over and over and over. And just ask yourself if you can see Christ, if you can see Christ in the midst of what you're hearing. Because is he being revealed? Is God being revealed? Is the Spirit being revealed? Who is being revealed? If you're being revealed, if your agenda is being revealed, if, you know, if other people are being revealed, then we gotta look at whether or not that is prophecy from the Lord or prophecy straight up from the soulish realm, straight up. So we're looking at identifying false prophecy, and we're looking at five critical transformation keys. And I have principles here saying we can say that too, but really keys. So our definition is this. In our faith, false prophecy is defined as words, actions, or deeds from a person claiming a divine gift of some kind. Doesn't have to be God. People claim they can prophesy from all kinds of things, or access to speak for or on behalf of God that contradicts the Lord's intention and purpose for prophecy. We talked about the sources of false prophecy. That was in the first lesson. But I always like to stop right here because we must make room for growth. Have you always prophesied everything exactly right? No. You know, it's arrogant of us to think that we don't make mistakes or that we can't miss. But I don't want anybody to be trigger happy with calling people false prophets. The best way to discern if someone is a false prophet is to look at their track record. That's all you have to do. But I mean, line upon line. So that's why community makes a lot of sense, because within community, you know, I know people be randomly sending you words and half of it is just prophetic exhortation. It doesn't even line up with what prophecy is. So we need to know what prophecy is, because most people are not prophesying. They're releasing prophetic encouragement, prophetic comfort. You know, they're not walking in the office, and sometimes we don't know that. I will tell you this, that there are a lot of people who think they're prophets, but I know that they're not, because they don't have a love for the word. That, and if they are, they're immature, or they have no people, there's no audience, they're just them random people that pop up and give a word here and there. But there has to be a level of accountability associated with that. And we'll talk about that more later. There's a lot associated with that. And so I probably shouldn't have even have brought it up. But just remember, don't be trigger happy. Don't be trigger happy, because, you know, God forbid if we kill somebody because they made a mistake, or because they were caught up in religion, or because they're coming out of some bad teaching, they were raised by somebody who raised them as a son of hell. We have to have some kind of compassion for folk. So that's why I stopped there. Again, we talked about principle number one, Christ must be revealed. Principle number two, prophecy should sound like Jesus's heart for recalibration and reconciliation. That was principle two. Principle three, prophecy is not condemnation, even in correction, but it gives life in the spirit. And so this is the perfect place to begin talking about principle number four. Now, I know a lot of this sounds like, oh, I know this already, da 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 da. You know, the first three points I put here may seem ordinary and super simple, and they are, but the bottom line for most people is that if they were, we would not be seeing the kind of prophecies that are spewing from the mouths of people today. So while those prophecies seem simple, and while we have people, God told me that 5 years ago, but you're not walking in it. So we have to begin to look at things like that. It's hilarious to me when people say God revealed things to you and you're looking right at them and their own lives don't line up with anything that they claim they already knew. And so if you're a leader, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've raised up people, you know what I'm talking about. All this revelation, but your life looks like, I don't know, like the tornado from somewhere. And you're just like, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? So we have to realize that these are things we have to look at too, because when you look at Christ, his life was not jacked up. His life was not jacked up. That doesn't mean the Bible says point blank that Christ never sinned, that he was without blemish. Now we know that we're daily walking towards our perfection. And I will tell you point blank, I am really in process. And I will tell you another thing, so are you. We never stop the process. The process is continuous. We're at different stages, and hopefully some of us are not where we started 10 years ago. We're not going backwards. You know, maybe, you know, so we need to make sure that we're constantly moving. This has to do with what we're teaching tonight. Sometimes I find myself around a lot of the God told me that last year. I want to bring that up again. Yet if he really spoke, there would be postures of change in your life. So we need to stop telling people that, especially the people who are guiding and leading us. If ever there was a same song that we need to get rid of, that is one of them. I would never say that. I don't think Dr. K has heard me tell her, well, God told me that 5 years ago. I don't do that because I know that what she's imparting is greater revelation for me now. And I have a different ability to be able to understand that now than I had 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. If we have learned nothing else this year about what God is doing, I pray that we can grow to understand that all roads lead to aligning to his end game. It's all about the end game, the end of divisive humanity and walking into the unifying presence of God. And that little picture I put at the bottom, I just put that there so we could see the breath. So we could see the breath. I mean, you know, in my own private time, I feel like every time I inhale and I exhale that I am really breathing Holy Spirit. I'm breathing the gift that he is and that I've been given, not just wind in the air. You know, I see something beyond just the wind in the air when I take a breath, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But here we go. And Father, I just pray that you're with us, that you guide us, that we have ears to hear and eyes to see, that we are teachable, Father, that we are people who are willing to be realigned. Father, I pray most of all that as I teach this, people are not focusing on me, but that they're looking to you, that they're looking to you from who their help comes from. Lord, I have nothing to give and nothing to offer outside of what you allow. And Father, I just thank you that we stand in that place today of just hunger and thirst for what is righteous to you, and that we're exiting this world. And I just pray, Father, that those that are addicted to the television networks, those that are caught up in what the news people are saying, those that have their gossip circles going on, what did this person do today? What did that elected official do yesterday? Father, I pray that they can put their minds at rest from the distractions. I pray that they can turn their attention to the word of God. I pray that they will have higher thinking and higher understanding in this hour. Nothing is wrong with talking about that as long as we're not lost in it and making it an idol. Father, I pray for healing in our souls where we're not watching what will perish, but that you give us the capacity by your spirit on the inside of us to hold on to what is everlasting and what is tangible. We need presence right now, God. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 4. To Matthew 4. Wait, let me go back. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 4. I'm going to go there myself, so just bear with me. Oh my goodness, I'm excited about the teaching today. I hope that it is a blessing to you. Okay, Matthew 4. Matthew 4. So we've been walking around Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So we're going backwards just a little bit. Not really, but I just want to set the stage with a few scriptures before we move forward. I'm going to try not to read all of this, but we already know that in Matthew 3, I believe Matthew 3 talked about the Jesus being immersed or baptized by John. And then we see him being taken in the wilderness in Matthew 4. And it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put your God to the test." I'm reading this not to talk about what is taking place, but to talk about how Christ responded to circumstances and situations. I want you to look at that. Now, you know, we all know that we have been tested, we have been tried, and I don't believe the devil is doing all of this. I believe most of it is consequences of bad choices and decisions that we've made, alignments that we shouldn't have got involved in. So we have to kind of stretch out and look at our contribution to the messes that we're in. But my point here is that there is a response that Jesus taught us. So I'm going to constantly refer you back to Christ, because I have a whole lot of experience in telling leaders in my life, but you don't understand, but they're saying, declare that the Lord has said, and I'm fighting with them. But no, I want to tell you all about my promises, problems. And I'm saying, but look at poor me, look at all that I'm going through. And they're saying, can you just declare what God has said? And I know some of you get frustrated when you have leaders that won't let you wallow in your pity party, recant the story for the 100th time. But the reason why a lot of times we have to get out of that posture is because only the word that God gave us can set us free. Do you agree? We have to do it like Jesus did, not like we think is best. If we know how to do it and we prefer all of the striving, all of the stress, wallowing on the floor for 3 weeks under a fast, if that is where your faith is, I understand. But most of the time, we're trying to get people to move into deeper levels of faith by simply saying, can you believe what God has said? Oh man, the tempter came, and girl, let me tell you, but no, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We have to believe him. So I want you to see his posture. Oh my God, I want you to see his posture. Please see his posture. Look, if you were to close your eyes right now, just using one of the techniques that I taught you and we continued to read, you could visualize this whole situation playing out. Sometimes we need to do that in our own situation. in our own circumstance. Lord, let me close my eyes and I see all the trouble that is before me. But Lord, you said that you would never leave me or forsake me. You said, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. I know I'm hurting from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet right now, but I can see my healing. Even if you have to do that every single day for 6 months until something breaks, God's word is true. God's word is true. And so whenever we see him doing things like, like it is written, he is convincing himself. We have to remember that Jesus came to earth to demonstrate the way, the truth, and the life. And the scripture tells us that he was tempted by every sin known to man. So I can see this as him not being this super Jesus right here, but him warring with him and within himself saying, you can't move me because it's written. I'm going to stand here even though I can't see it. This has to do with principle number 4. So just walk with me. We're going to build into it. Now, I want to stop for a minute. I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint because there are a couple of things I want you to see that I need to undo. So we're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we're going to talk a few minutes about Galilee. We're going to talk a few minutes about Galilee. So here we go. So the first thing I want you to know is when you're looking at this map right here, sometimes we think that Jesus was traveling the world, going to all the nations. And if you've been with us any length of time, that bubble has already been busted, you know? So we already know that that's not what was going on. But here, this whole little orange area is Galilee. This whole little area right here. So this is what we're talking about. The area that Christ was in was around this little area right here when a lot of the things in Matthew 5 was taking place. It was around this little seaport. But I want to point out there's Capernaum and there's Nazareth. So you just have this distance. And if you've traveled to Israel, you already know. So we're just moving on. But I want you to get these little facts in mind, and I'll tell you why I'm sharing them with you in just a minute. Just a minute. So in your holy imagination, if you're reading this, you're going to see that Galilee is a booming agricultural city known for its unusually fertile ground. Now, if you want to study this on your own, just go. If you have the book of Josephus, the book of Josephus is also online, the whole thing. Josephus was a historian who lived during the time of Christ. So his writings give us a firsthand account. That's why I use his teachings a lot. We can hit his historical work lines up with scripture line upon line. It lines up with history concerning kings and empires and things like that. He talks about what the Jews were really doing, what they were believing, what they were practicing. So he's one of the sources that I count as invaluable to my study. But Galilee is a booming agricultural city known for its unusually fertile ground. You could go trees and plants that would not normally grow together and thrive. The interesting thing is you could grow olives, walnuts, and grapes on the same soil right next to each other. If you know anything about agriculture, gardening, or anything like that, you know that's an impossibility. That's not easy to accomplish because they all need different things. You know, but Galilee was one of those places where you had that. They were known for their hot springs, and these hot springs were for bathing. They were for healing. People would go there to take baths. I mean, literally out in public, stark naked. That's what they would do. They would, and also some of the springs were so hot that people were murdered in them. They were killed in them. So I'm painting a picture. I want you to just imagine what all of this is happening, you know, around in what's taking place. There were all kinds of religions converged in this region. Rome had a huge army in this region. We know about Herod because Herod was about to behead John. you know, he beheaded John. And the bandits in Jerusalem or in this historical time are not just people walking around robbing people. When we use the word bandits in our culture, we're thinking, oh, I'm getting jacked. Somebody snatched my cell phone out of my purse while passing by. No, we're talking about it can mean that, but it can also mean coups. It can also mean kidnappings. It can also mean people trying to hem Jesus up in a corner and kill him. It can mean Paul being chased out of town. I mean, so we have, it's a violent society. I always ask you guys, think of the 300. Think of Spartacus. Think of these types of things happening because this is the scene on which Christ entered. This is very important. Very important to our next point. Oh my God, there was such corruption in government at its highest level. Christ didn't stroll into the Sea of Galilee under a veil of peace. The Jews were fighting with the government and they were fighting with each other. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you had the Zealots, you had the Essenes, you had the Herodians. There were so many sects, not just the three we hear about in scripture. Well, the two we hear about in scripture the most. They were fighting just like the church is fighting today. They were killing people. Oh my God, you could be beat up and murdered on the street for nothing by the government. There are a lot of nations that walk this out every day in our day and time. All the violence that's taking place in Nigeria, all the things that have been happening in Syria. I mean, we can go on and on. It just never ends. So even our worst moment in the United States is not even that bad when you start looking around. And it's really incomparable to what Jesus was going through. I just want you to stop there for a minute. He was walking in the midst of this level of chaos. Bold. Brave, clear about his assignment. Oh my goodness. You all got that, right? Ongoing chaos is on the backdrop of his gospel message. Now, let's go back to scripture real quick so I can go ahead and unveil this next point to you. So here we are. When he's being tested, when he's fighting with Satan, he's dealing with his own posture. He just got baptized. His cousin and the prophet, the greatest prophet ever, Johnny Mercer, is now in custody. And get this, at the pleasure of the emperor at that time. It's a sport for them to behead him. They having a little get together. Well, let's just behead him. Entertainment for his wife. You know, I'm just giving you a picture of what's going on. But get this, did Jesus ever address that? Did he ever address Herod? And I need you all to just give me some love somewhere on Facebook, on here, because this is very, very, very important. Very important. I want you to really consider what Jesus did. Jesus did, not Peter, not Paul, not John, not Timothy, not Titus, not James. I want you to consider what Jesus did. Are you all following me? Oh my goodness, listen to this. When Jesus heard that John had been in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Oh my goodness, he went to Galilee. Why did he go? He left Nazareth and he went and he lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Listen, Jesus continued to bring the kingdom. Did he pause at any time and enter into the mess of Herod? Did he deal with what happened to Johnny Mercer in the way that we probably would today? Did he engage the people in conversation about it? He didn't do any of that. Listen, this is what Isaiah said. Land of Zebulun, it says to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. It says, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Hold on to that. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, I just showed you how ugly it was in that city. All the wars and battles and murders, the beheadings, the crucifixions, babies ripped from women's stomachs in times of war, constant rapes, women no better than dogs, and Jesus never addressed it. Why? Because he came to establish his kingdom. He understood that the priority in the midst of chaos is prophesying life in the legitimate kingdom, not the illegitimate one. I hope you all are following me, because I can't teach this without feedback and without you understand what I'm sharing with you. Because all kinds of people, when you start changing and you start moving in different directions, they're going to tell you all kinds of things about Jesus. They're going to tell you he was a political mastermind in the earth realm. They're going to tell you that he did this and he did that. They're going to start merging old covenant with new covenant and justifying their positions and their postures, not realizing or recognizing that Jesus was doing the exact opposite of what took place in the old covenant. What do I mean? Number one, in the old covenant, Jesus dealt with the people in the church and the people of the world through the kings of the world. Did he not do that? God dealt with people, but he would send the king of this against that nation. He would turn the heart of the king. He did everything he did with the Pharaoh and Moses. He used David. He made a man rise up. But in the new covenant, we don't need David. In the new covenant, we don't need Cyrus. In the new covenant, we don't need Pharaoh to harden his heart. Can you all hear what I'm saying? Follow what I'm teaching you in the word. Follow what I'm teaching you in the word. Don't get mad at me. I'm giving you a story that you can close your eyes and listen to on a Bible CD. You can read all the words of red, and Jesus never elevated the government in the earth and the kingdom that he was building. Father, we just bind in the name of Jesus every opposing force to this teaching. Father, we preach Jesus. We don't preach earth. We don't preach man. We don't preach emotion. We preach Christ. Turn hearts, God, to truth. Let all eyes from you and away from people and away from men. It's not about us and our positions. It's about our ability to see God. It's about our ability to know him and to trust him. He was about the Father's business. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew from Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, went on about the kingdom business, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet. He said, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen the great light. The light was that Christ isn't dealing with you in the earth and in flesh and blood anymore. The light was, I'm going to bring you the kingdom in the midst of chaos. What in the world does this have to do with prophecy? It's coming. Just walk with me. It's coming. What does this have to do with identifying false prophecy? It's coming. Just walk with me. Because we got a whole lot of people that all they can do is point out darkness. Something's wrong with that, people of God. Horribly wrong with that. They spend all their time digging out demons. Something is wrong with that. Christ never did it. And nor did his apostles. Men have added so much. I love Revelation. I love it. But not at the expense of giving people power and taking power away from my Jesus. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Listen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. And this is what he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Basically, at that time, he had not become the Christ. So it would take the resurrection in order for the kingdom of heaven to be at hand, because the exchange in that moment is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That exchange has not taken place yet. But the new covenant was on the scene, but it wasn't sealed until the resurrection. Listen to what he did next. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. All this crazy going on. And he walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net in the lake. He prophesied, come follow me. So he starts his ministry walking by the sea. Not binding and loosing this and that. He starts his ministry by walking by the sea, and the first thing he prophesies is, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Can you all see this? Now, you called to do something else because it's a new dispensation. Might not be called to do this particular thing, but Jesus was calling them to join the ministry to build the kingdom. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And if you don't know, some of the apostles, some of the people that walked with Jesus were first disciples of John the Immerser. So John the Immerser had already prepared them for Christ's return. So they already knew that when Jesus presented himself, they knew who he was. So sometimes we don't realize that they knew who he was already, right? Okay, so they did. So going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father. Basically, Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father. What's the point of this? If you have a call, even in chaos, you should be working it. We don't get to stop because things are happening in the earth. We don't get to stop. We are to continue to fulfill our assignment. Oh my goodness. Let me go ahead because I'm running out of time. But I'm going to finish this because I don't have time to go through it next week. We're doing something else next week. So let's look back at this. So we're looking at Galilee, Matthew 4, and we see Christ going on with his ministry. But Matthew 4 and 16, it says this. Now, this is where things take a turn for us tonight. I'm trying to look at some of the comments here, and they're really, really good. Don't be angry with me. Study this out. It's true. The Bible tells us left and right, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't say keep your eyes on Paul. Don't say keep your eyes on Jeremiah. Doesn't say something. I mean, my God, keep your eyes on Jesus. Matthew 4 and 16, we just read it, but I want you to see this. So the people living in darkness have seen a great light. That light was Jesus. How were they able to see him? Because he kept his eyes focused on the kingdom. He kept his eyes on his assignment. He kept his eyes on the greatest job a son has been given to keep the kingdom in place, to build the kingdom. I'm gonna flip back real quick to Matthew 4 because he shows us how he did it. He doesn't leave it as a mystery. He said the people living in darkness they've seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Revival came to those people. God made sure they were getting liberated from the kingdom of this world. I want you to see that they were getting liberated because Christ was not focusing on what Herod was doing. Christ was not focusing on the death. Now, he was hurt. He wasn't a cold man, but he understood that John D. Mercer's destiny was that moment of death. It was appointed for him. Let's flip. Hold on. Let's flip back. Oh, yeah. Somebody wrote he understood purpose. Listen to this. That's exactly right. So here we have, he went and lived in Capernaum. We got that. So we hear him, listen to what he did. So he got a few people together. He's building the kingdom. He's building. He's taking time to find his disciples who are going to work with him. He's bringing them right alongside him. Most of them have been yoked up with Johnny and Mercer. They know about healing. They know about prayer. They know, and they already knew about the laws because they were all Jews. So they already knew the expectation and the things like that. And Johnny and Mercer, there's scripture that tells you that they belong to John, but we're not going there. But I want you to see this in verse 23. How was he building the kingdom? So all this is going on. And Jesus went through Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. And people brought him all who were ill. Now, all of this chaos is going on, and you got people being drawn to Jesus. Two kingdoms being completely divided. Can you see it? Jesus is building. He was like, I ain't worrying about what's going on over there. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to fulfill my assignment. I'm going to still build scribes. I'm going to still do what God has called me to do. I'm going to still mentor those. I'm not going to pause because COVID here. I'm not going to pause because the elections in the United States are crazy. I'm not going to get off on something that the world can't find unity in because unity can only be found in God. I'm going to focus on what we can unify concerning. And the only thing that sons can unify on is Jesus. There will never be unity in Babylon, because Babylon is outside of the will of God. I don't know if any of you are getting this. It's so quiet. But Jesus taught us how to keep, Jesus was keeping his eyes on God.
Yeah.
He was. He was saying to you, I know my Father sent kings against y'all a long time ago. I know my Father caused this nation and this king to rise and this king to fall. I know my Father did all of this. I know he did, but I'm the king now. I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other words, these kings don't matter anymore. Listen to this. Jesus never used a man to fulfill any mandate that Christ had as the sole voice for that move. He used people. He used Paul. He used his apostles, but they did not stand as the single voice for anything. They only spoke of him. Is that clear? There will never be a chief prophet. There will never be the apostle of all apostles. There will never be the super prophet. That it can't be. Because in the old covenant, God only spoke to an appointed few. In the new covenant, the spirit belongs to all who receive. Oh my goodness, these contrasts should cause us to heal. No one prophet can speak concerning every believer on the face of the earth. Anybody who does that, you need to be aware of and wary of and fearful of, because they're taking a position that Christ took away. They're taking a position. Christ said there will come a day when no man will teach you. He said it in the old covenant, and his apostles quoted it in the new. He said there was going to come a day when I would write on your heart. All right, we're gonna keep it moving, but I need you to see this. I'm giving you things that you can study yourself. I'm giving you things that you can study. So we need apostles and prophets, but the thing about it is, it's a community effort. Ephesians 4 said he gave those gifts for the congregation, for the church. And he's talking about the church of Ephesus in that passage, right? Their local community. He's not talking about the whole world. He's talking about, so we have to apply those scriptures in context. Oh my God, how dare you tell me that this is what God wants me to do? He could be telling me to do something completely different. Oh my God. So here we go. Let's wrap this up. Thank you for your patience. So here we are. Jesus is that great light. And I'm just going to give you this nugget because we may not have a time to go there. But when he's talking about this great light, maybe the next chapter or just a few more verses, you're going to hear him talking about being salt and light in the earth and being a lighthouse on a hill. Basically, in context, he's saying you have to stand apart and be set apart from everything that has become common. So Jesus was demonstrating how to be salt and light in a world filled with chaos and confusion. It didn't mean he didn't care, but he knew that the only way to build the kingdom was to change the hearts of men. By healing the sick, Change only comes in the kingdom when the heart changes to the likeness and image of Christ. Key number four, when will prophecy comes forth, God's light will always be elevated above the priorities of people in the new covenant. So this is the question you must ask. Is that word that went forth producing light that will build the kingdom that is at hand? That's it. That's the question you need to ask. Is that word going forth? Even a word of correction, even a word about pending destruction or things happening. There should, let's say a prophet prophesies, I saw five tornadoes and this tornado is gonna hit this area and this area. But listen to this. And I heard the Lord say, prepare yourself. What does that mean? That means I don't have to die. That means my loved ones don't have to get caught in the storm. That means that if that prophet has weight and people listen, they can pack their bags and they can leave that area and escape and have life. But what we have today is a bunch of people that are saying, look at your dirty self. God's sending a tornado to get you. That's what we're hearing. That might have been true in the old covenant, but it's not the message of the gospel that Christ released. Oh my God. Somebody mad now and they're going through their whole mind with all them old covenant comments about the death and destruction and judgment, and they forget that this is what Christ said before he left the earth. Christ said, I took on all the sin. He said, I forgave everybody. But this is what he said before he did all of that on the cross. He said this. He said, those who do not believe are already judged. Your destruction is sealed when you refuse to accept him. In other words, I don't have to tell you what's going to happen. I don't have to keep reminding you that you going this place or going that place, that you're going to die, that God's, I don't have to keep reminding you of that, because what I am telling you, if you unite with me, that doesn't have to be your fate. Oh, okay. Oh my goodness. I hope that makes sense. I can't stay there. I have to move on. But I want you to be able to hear me. God shows us things. I'm not saying he doesn't prophesy, but there's a way that he does it. And there's a hope in what he prophesies. There are times he brings judgment, but that's the office of the prophet. That's a different gifting. Most people are not walking in that. I know in the conservatory, true prophets, maybe two or three that are mature in their calling. Not calling anybody out or being funny. You can just watch the demonstration because the posture is different when maturity settles. But here we are. Right here, and this is the thing, key number four, when real prophecy comes forth, God's light will always be elevated above the priorities of men. People won't prophesy aside. Hear me. They won't prophesy Herod, Caesar. They won't prophesy those kinds of things. They will prophesy Christ. Did Christ prophesy anything but Jesus, but God? Did Paul? Did Peter? This is hard. This is hard because I'm stepping on people's religious ideology. I'm coming against their favorite prophet that has become an idol. I'm coming against their familiar spirit that they mistake as the anointing. I'm coming against soul revelation. study the word for yourself. I'm not lying to you. Because I ain't listening to nobody right now but Jesus. Because my assignment is, how can I release a word that's going to bring unity to the kingdom that is at hand? There is no unity in Babylon. It cannot exist because Babylon is void of the indwelling of the Spirit. Unity can only be found in Christ's end game and his intention. I'm gonna move on because I'm seeing it and I'm feeling it. I may never see some of y'all again. But I pray tonight that you wrestle with the Lord and not with me. Prophecy shines light in darkness, not just on it. Let that rest. Most prophets that are in error want to make you see your sin and nothing else. There is no light in the midst of the darkness, just condemnation, judgment, critical spirit, cussing you out with scriptures, hate, unfriending. There is no light in the darkness, light in the darkness. Then the scripture, everybody loves a quote, everything done in the dark can be brought to the light. That ain't what that means. It means God will shine light in darkness so you can find hope. So you can be revived. So you can receive the forgiveness he already gave you. That's not a lie. I'm teaching you the word. This isn't some light bulb that came on in my head and I'm just going to rub it in the Lord. No. God forbid we lie on God. Jesus. Prophecy shines light in darkness, not just on it. If you're exposing something, then you have to figure out how your words can heal that place. That's why I can't get with some of these Christian comedians. But that's another story. I ain't gonna go there because I know that'll make some of y'all mad. Because you think it's funny laughing at people's worst moments. What chaos and confusion is that in the realm of the spirit? And those people's business has nothing to do with you. But hey, they want to weigh in. I'm a prophet. God, show me. Why don't he show you yourself in the mirror right now in the name of Jesus? Because what if that was switched? How can light shine on shame? Okay, let's move. Matthew 4:16 says, again, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Let's go real quick to Matthew 5:13. Give me just a few more minutes before I get to this next point. Matthew 5:13. Okay, so let me go. I'm just going to read this one thing. Oh yeah, just salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? In other words, once you cross the line and you become a hypocrite, and you begin to walk in all of the ways of the world, and yet you're pronouncing the name of Jesus, how can you be trusted? How can we rely on you again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on. In other words, you have dismantled the message of the gospel. Dismantled it. When Christ all this chaos going on, his cousin being beheaded, the greatest prophet to ever live dying, people are killing, beginning to kill Christians. They're after him. They're watching him. All of this is happening. And he is saying, I'm going to represent what I want you to become. I'm going to stand as the light of the world, and I'm going to show you how to stand as a light and not be an obstacle to the kingdom. We got a lot of obstacles to the kingdom right now, and we pray for them that they know him, that they come out of darkness into the light, that they rise and to be worthy of the calling that is upon them, that they not think more highly of themselves than they are. Lord, I pray this over myself. And I pray it over those listening now and that will listen, that we don't miss this. We don't have to have a public opinion about everything, because it might shut up the kingdom for someone. And I am supposed to be salt and light. I'm supposed to be a lighthouse. If that means closing my mouth, not commenting on crazy things on social media, if that means walking in self-control, I submit to that. A lot of people need to nurture that fruit in their lives. Oh my God. Nurture it. Nurture it. Next slide. Christ dealt with the government of the heart, not the government of the city, at the level we are dealing with it today. This doesn't mean you don't do things to help people. This doesn't mean you're not involved, but it must not become greater than the kingdom of God. This is looking at Jesus. Don't get mad. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus dealt with the government of the heart. He dealt with the government because that's where he builds his church, on the revelation of who he is. Oh my God. He doesn't build his church on the revelation of the United States of America. Brexit. He doesn't build his nation on those things. We're supposed to be his government, building and writing on the hearts of men. We're his letters, for goodness sake. Oh my God. Key five. False prophecy elevates conflict and flesh and blood over the kingdom. I just taught you about that. I don't even have to go into this. Never once in Christ's entire ministry did he represent any other king or seek to move through any other king than the promises of God, the promised Messiah. Never. Read the letters in red. We watch him, right? We don't watch Paul. We don't, they're not perfect. We watch the perfect. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means you might have some mess up there in what you wrote in those letters to Timothy. Those letters to the church. It might be some stuff. I remember one thing when I read years ago, and this was when he was talking about marriage. And he said, it's plain today. He said, I write this in my own hand. In other words, this is my opinion on the matter. He also wrote, listen, let me tell you what I think about singleness. He didn't say God said. He said, this is my advice. This is my insight concerning the situation that we're in. Oh my God, are we following? And that just basically means we can have wisdom and we can make decisions based on our circumstances that God agrees with. I walk it heavily in that. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not a robot. Never. How do I know he never did this? Because after all Moses did, let's go to our favorite scripture in the conservatory and we're done. We're done. This wasn't the greatest message tonight because I know a lot of toes got stepped on. People still gonna fight you. People still gonna leave after listening to this and go get mad at their neighbor because of something they said on social media. I'm over it. It'll pass. We've all have probably said things or done things. I repented. And I'm like, God, my witness is not gonna be tainted by me railing over flesh and blood. Things that are gonna pass away and burn up. Things that do nothing but vex my soul and block my heart from Jesus. No way. I don't care whether you're red or blue. Doesn't matter to me. Do you love Jesus? Because if you can love him, I can start right there with you. Do you love him? Because I know that if there's a genuine love for Christ, all else is gonna burn away in your life. Time will take care of that. Understanding will take care of that. Hebrews 3. And we're done. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Oh my God. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. We need to be faithful. Just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house. He bore witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the son over God's house, and we are his house. Oh, Jesus. We have to be faithful to his house, not to the United States of America. Not to Africa, not to Europe, not to Australia, not to the United States of America. Listen, this is what I'm saying to you. We can walk with people as far as they walk with Jesus. When they lose that pathway, we have to get out of the way and remain with Jesus. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. If ever there was a time to be faithful over Christ's house is now, because there is no hope in this nation right now. And if you dwell on it, it's going to crush your spirit. If you dwell on Corona, it's going to crush your spirit. I cry out for people who lost loved ones right now because they can't do anything but hate this season, hate coronavirus, and you can't blame them because they're suffering. But we have to be strong enough and firm enough in the hope of glory that we can come around them and hold them up with the gospel, not with gossip and conversation and theory about this world system that will compound their distress. We have to be their salt and light. And we can only do that. People like, I had somebody have the nerve to tell me they didn't like the fact that I seem neutral about everything. I said, you don't know me at all. I'm not neutral. I'm for Jesus. You don't know Jesus. That's why you think I'm neutral. You think I'm not taking sides. Stop asking me what I think. Because I'm always default to it's finished. I'm always default to God has not lost anything. I'm always default to the bride has been perfected. You just have to decide whether you're going to be a part of the bride. We have some decisions to make. I know you live in this world. I know it. But we're not of it. We become one with God. We don't become one with the world system. And I'm sorry, but some people are one with the world right now and don't even know it. And they're fighting a carnal warfare. Jesus let Babylon be Babylon. All he did was step in the midst of Babylon and say, let me heal you of sickness and disease. Let me open the entrance of heaven to you. Let me show you a better way. Let me give you abundant life. That's what he did. That's what he did. And every day he got up and demonstrated it. We saw him struggle with it in Gethsemane. But he got himself together and he never sinned. He never cussed God. The scripture says we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's it. Any comments or questions? I know this was a hard, hard one. And I know it hasn't been like all the other ones, but when we realize false prophecy is this simple, it really is.
Yes. Amen. There were several comments on Facebook, but they were really echoing what you were teaching. Praise God. Yeah, so a lot of, everybody's pretty much echoing and writing notes into the Facebook chat and on our chat here concerning what you're saying. Apostle Bernard says, Holy Spirit, bring your prophets out of this present darkness into the marvelous light. Jesus is the light. My God, apostles, we have witnessed lots of elevation of conflict, flesh, and blood over the kingdom. Amen. Apostle Bernard is saying, you know, you're setting order. That's what apostles do. Apostles set order. Praise God.
And conservators, even if other people mock you, I think we're getting it.
Yes.
And that's what matters. You get it and you can share it with those assigned to you.
Yes.
And teach him through the word, not just you talking to him, take him to the scriptures.
Yes.
Anybody have anything to say? You're more than welcome. We got 10 minutes before I have to go.
One person says, yes, when the hearts of men are changed to reflect Christ, the kingdom of God can truly manifest in the earth. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. It can. It can. The kingdom is within us.
Yes.
It really is. God, the old covenant, everybody was waiting for a deliverer. They were waiting for deliverance. They were waiting for their opportunity. In the new covenant, the kingdom has come.
Yes.
And the evidence is the indwelling of the Spirit on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to one day teaching about deliverance. I don't want to tell y'all up too bad.
Amen.
But there is such a profound understanding of being delivered.
Yes. Another person said, God shines light in darkness so we can find hope and light and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's it. 100%. 100%. I want to give you a real quick idea of next Tuesday's Bible study. And I think this will help us. And I think, is this the last Bible study of the year, LA? Or we have one more? I think this.
Okay, so
this is the last Bible study because we have our New Year's service.
We have one more.
We're going to talk about why certain promises of the Bible and certain promises in our lives don't come to pass. And we're going to deal with some of the crazy responses to that religion gives us. So that's next Tuesday night. So Apostle Bernard, and I'm going to ask Apostle Pamela, if you're available, I would love for you to come on Zoom and join us in that discussion. And it's going to be, we're going to talk about why certain things don't come to pass. And it's like in the Bible or different things, and why people get so frustrated, because I think we just need to be set free and the pressure taken off. And a lot of people feel like they haven't done enough, or that they're not doing something right, that they need to perform, or different things like that. So we need to really deal with that. I tell you, God broke that off me since I've been with Dr. K.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of questions, especially given the situation with my son and now the situation with my granddaughter. And I grew up in a church in which they told me my sin caused that. And that I needed to break generational curses and stuff, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have had a child that was like that.
Jesus.
You know, and so I went through hell because of that. Emotionally, spiritually, I mean, I cannot tell you how bad and hard that was on me and my husband. So I look forward to next Tuesday helping you be free and getting rid of these people that tell you that stuff. And I don't mean getting rid of people. I mean setting them in order. We got some scriptures that are going to sit them down.
Yes.
And so, and you'll know how to deal with that, because otherwise you'll be all day throwing up in a bag and rolling on the floor trying to make your child heal. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you. And believing things that probably will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to talk about this stuff, and from a scriptural perspective. Now that one is going to be my perspective, and I'm going to walk through some scriptures. You don't have to agree with me with that. And I, you know, with this teaching, I believe it's pretty plain in the scriptures. But when it comes to teachings like that discussion, there's a lot of different theology surrounding it. And we're going to talk about some of those next week.
Yes.
And so, be ready for that teaching. I think it's going to heal a lot of us. Again, it's not to destroy or make anybody look crazy, because I believed all of that stuff. Get this. Up until 2009, I believed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't anymore. There's a better way.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to have you all on the line. I pray that the Lord really ministers to your spirit and strengthens you, and that you got something out of this and you can be at rest. God is taking care of this nation.
Amen.
United States, and we're going to be all right. Now, I'm not saying all the problems going to go away. I am saying we are okay.
Mm-hmm.
We are okay. We're going to be okay. It can't be any other way. It was okay. Even when Stephen was on his knees being stoned to death, it was okay. Mm-hmm. It is okay. God bless you all, and I will see you Sunday.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to Sunday. Yep, we got some treats. I'm excited to be able to receive. Please support. Please be there Sunday.
And don't forget to give tonight if you want to sow into this word. Veruva has put the information in the chat on Facebook as well as the chat here on Zoom. And thank everybody for joining us. God bless you. And we join us Sunday and join us next week. We are going to have a great time in the Lord.
Night.
Good night, everybody. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.